Greetings, fellow believers. Join me in uncovering the must-sees of the beautiful landscape of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Our pilgrimage through this beautiful country is guided in the firm belief that God has handcrafted every corner of the world, making it worth exploring. Having dedicated time to researching the intricacies of this unique country, this episode will unveil some interesting things about their history, the wonderful places to go visit, and more details to help you plan for your next adventure. So before we dive in, I think we first need to locate this unique country on the map. It is located in Southeast Europe on the Balkan Peninsula, and it is slightly smaller than the state of West Virginia. It has diverse landscapes, including mountains, forests, rivers, and a small coastline, like one of the smallest beaches, but it is along the Adriatic Sea. And the best time of the year to visit is between April to June and September to October, which will help you avoid some of those extreme temperatures. So with that in mind, I want to give us a Bible verse to help us ponder this country. And the Bible verse that comes to mind is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. This country is known for some incredible war and conflict, and as such, we need to remember that God created the world in perfection, and it has fallen into sin through our failure to live up to God's expectations, and Bosnia and Herzegovina is no different. But in that, we still know God's love for us, and we still can celebrate that. So my reflection question for you as we dive into this is, how do you see some of the cultural conflicts or even religious conflicts in your own personal life at home? And what can we learn from the conflicts that happened within this country? So with that in mind, let's go ahead and dive in and learn a little bit more about its context and its history. So the official languages in the country are actually three of them. There is Bosnian, Serbian, and Croatian. And that's because there's actually three major groups in this country. The Bosniaks, which are primarily Muslims, the Christian Serbs, and the Croats. Now, I want to take a moment and walk us through a little piece of their history. And while I've done some research, I know I'm not an expert, so I encourage you to also do some more of your own research as well. So, going back into the 90s, there was a communist country of Yugoslavia. And in time, it started to break apart into these different states or countries that wanted independence. And as this continues to happen, there ends up being one group that still kind of holds to its communist roots. And then there is Bosnia and Herzegovina, one country. But it has these three religiously different groups within it. And as we've seen in other times in history, these groups start to conflict with one another. And this larger group, this communist country that's neighboring them, is wanting a say in this. And a lot of it has to do with the Serbs going against the Bosniaks and the Croats, I believe. And so this other country is trying to send their army in to help with this conflict. And by help, I mean support one group to extend their communist reign while the other groups are being squashed and lives are being lost. The United Nations is trying to really stay passive in the conflict and only come in to provide food and resources. Many times, some of the war comes to what they call these safe zones, where people could come to be away from the conflict. But then, even though weapons were taken away, when the war came to its door, the United Nations didn't always step up. The United States eventually steps in, and yada, 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 a lot of borders, and the war starts to shift. And finally, they kind of divided almost a 50-50%. The Serbs and then the Bosniaks and Croats get like kind of like two different territories. And so, as such, these two different groups are still part of this one country called Bosnia and Herzegovina. And where that name comes from, you'd have to go back much further than this conflict. Bosnia, they believe, is traced back to the name of the river near them, and Herzegovina to some of the Dutch influence, specifically a duke that once lived there. So that's kind of how it got its name, but that doesn't necessarily have to do with this conflict. So relatively recently, 90s, there were the camps, there was war, there was severe conflict, and it was largely based around religion and ethnic groups, and not all that different than some of the world wars, so it's kind of a sad but true part of their history. So, knowing this, what are some things that you can do to be respectful when going into this country? Well, I feel like the first and maybe most obvious thing is don't bring up the war unless they kind of bring it up. Be respectful of their own history. Many of them have lived through it, and it probably still stings for many people. When visiting someone's home, it's polite to bring small gifts such as flowers or chocolates just to say thank you to your gracious host. Greet people with a handshake and always maintain eye contact. And then just be aware of how the different groups interact with one another and be respectful to their cultural practices. Within this, I always like to take a moment to understand some of the religious dynamics there. So let's break it down. 45% of Bosnia and Herzegovina is Muslim, 36% is Serb Orthodox, 15% Roman Catholic, 1% is Protestant, and 3% are other groups, including Jews. And their post-war, after all this conflict in the 90s, provides for religious freedom, but there are still challenges that persist. So one of the things that I like to talk about, especially when we visit a country, is one of their predominant religions, especially in an area like this where conflict was largely based around religion. And so we're going to take a little bit closer look at what Muslims believe. Now, I tend to use this book, as I've referenced in many an episode. It's called The Christian Difference. And so a lot of the information that I will be sharing with you comes from that. I am not an expert, but I do feel better equipped to share some general things about their belief. And this is not just specific to Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's kind of a general overview of what Muslims believe. One of the things that the book pointed out is that Muslim beliefs tend to spring up in communist countries and or previous communist countries. The assumption being because communism doesn't really reward your works, that this turnover to a Muslim way of life that rewards works is kind of a natural transition for them. So where did the Muslim belief come from? It came from a guy named Muhammad who lived in Mecca, and Mecca had over 360 different gods or idols. And he believes that he was visited by the angel Gabriel. Yes, the one from our biblical text. And was told to worship the one and only God. Allah. Now, this is indeed a different God than the one that Christians worship, and we'll get into that a little bit more in a second. So, many teachings that Muhammad pulled upon actually came from Jewish and Christian stories. In fact, the Bible and Torah and the Psalms, along with the Quran, are part of the doctrinal beliefs of Muslims. They use stories of Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, and recognize them as great prophets, though they are considered less significant than Muhammad himself. When talking about the Bible, they think that it has been altered by Jewish and Christian leaders. For instance, the story of Abraham going to sacrifice Isaac, well, because Muhammad supposedly descended from Ishmael, that isn't the true, the story we Christians know in their mind is a false teaching. The true story that they, at least that they go by, is that Abraham was a perfectly sinless man, kind of like Jesus, who lived a perfect Muslim life, which is to be without sin, to do perfectly good works all the time. And he was to sacrifice Ishmael, who, again, Muhammad descended from. And the problem with this, little slight difference in story, is that this takes away from the true story that is a symbolism of Christ, who will die for us and for our sins. And it takes away from the importance of that sacrifice that we know God intervened with a ram for. So it's a slight changing of a significant story from the Bible. Now, that's not the only story that they've altered. In fact, they've also altered the story of Jesus. They still say he was born of a virgin and is a great prophet, but he's a lesser prophet than Muhammad and of Moses. Moses turned a stick into a serpent, and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. To me, the Lazarus one seems more extreme, but they say because Moses took an inanimate object and brought it to life, that is more significant than bringing back a human person. In addition to that, they also say that Jesus didn't actually physically die. That was actually someone else, and Allah raised Jesus up to heaven, and Muhammad actually got to meet Jesus at some point in the second heaven. That's right. They believe there are many different tiers to heaven based on how good of a person and how good your works were. And that's where I think the biggest difference lies between the Christian God and Allah. The Christian God came and sacrificed for us. Yes, he established laws and has expectations for us, but he knows that we were sinful and unable to achieve those things. And so he sent Jesus for us so that we can be forgiven of those things and have a chance at eternity by simply believing in him. Now, good works and those things come out of that belief, but it isn't the basis of our salvation. Whereas Allah is a very strict God who only believes that your works earn your merit to heaven. Now, as a sinful human, the works is something easier for, I think, most of us to comprehend. If I do good work in school, I get an A+. If I do good work at work, I get financial rewards, benefits, raises, etc. So why wouldn't I want to also apply those same merits to my salvation as well? But that's where God steps in with grace and mercy and thinking and wisdom far beyond our own. And so that is where some of that difference lies. And then going back to those different tiers of heaven, there are different Muslims, kind of like Christians. We have what we call the Easter and Christmas Christians, who only worship on those times of the year, just in the same way that there are Muslims who practice their faith more strictly than others. And for some of them, that means following the Quran, which says to be killing non-believers And so those who die in sacrifice immediately go to Allah for the expanse and spreading of his kingdom. So when it comes to witnessing to a Muslim, here are some things to know. The first thing is don't insult Muhammad or dwell on the differences, as I just did, between the two religions. It can cause more division and put up more walls than help. So I would suggest taking that off the table. Instead, focus on the similarities. Jesus was born of a virgin. He did miracles. And we have the Bible or sacred texts that we can turn to. Then we need to point out the false hope in salvation by the law. We'll never do enough good. It's physically impossible. One of the things that I've heard someone say, have you ever had, I think they're usually the Jehovah Witnesses that come to the door. And in this case, someone knocked at the door and they were talking similarly. It's not the same religion, but similarly about how our works get us to heaven. Well, this person had their child with them. And so my Christian friend said to them, okay, well, what about your child? Are they perfect? Will they go to heaven? And the parent couldn't say that that child was without sin. And the same can be said for us as adults. None of us are without sin. So it's a false hope to believe that we can live a flawless life. The law condemns us. Then I would say, turn to John 1, verses 1 through 14. Jesus is the eternal word of God made flesh. And so God's word is everlasting and without error. And instead of talking about Jesus as the Son of God, they'll think that's a physical thing, as I talked about before, and that they were two different people who died, etc. Talk about him as Jesus and simply that. And then, of course, always pray. Pray that a seed may be planted. You may never get to see the full fruits of it, but you can at least share a little bit of your story. Well, now that you are equipped and you know where they are located, a little bit of their history, and some of their religious dynamics, let's go ahead and find out what are some of the top places to visit in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Sorry, it's a fun word to say, but it's a tongue twister for me. So the first place to visit is Sarajevo. This is the capital city, and it's known for its mix of Ottoman and Austro-Hungarian architecture, and its role in the 20th century conflicts. Mostar, which is famous for its stunning Stari Most, or Old Bridge, an UNESCO World Heritage Site, the bridge is a symbol of reconciliation and is a must-see architectural wonder. Jajce, a charming town with a medieval fortress and a stunning waterfall. It is a blend of history and natural beauty, the site of the last Bosnian king's coronation. Next up, I would suggest the Kravice Waterfalls. A series of cascading waterfalls amidst lush greenery is a perfect place to relax and enjoy nature, and it's located in the southern Herzegovina region, which I know I talked briefly about their unique names. Herzegovina, where the Dutch Duke was located, was in the south. So even though there's no like physical divide for Bosnia and Herzegovina, that's kind of the recognized area. The other place to visit would be Travnik. Known for its Ottoman history, visit this historic fortress and colorful architecture is a must. And then, as always, I encourage you to be looking for opportunities to grow your faith along the way. One of the things you can be doing is praying for the country, focusing on reconciliation, healing, and unity for the country, taking time to journal and reflect on how those conflicts of faith can be applied to your own understanding. What can you take away from this conflict, and how important is your faith and living that out? And so with that, my actual final question is this. When thinking about the conflict, largely based on the religious faith, if you were in the same boat, would you be able to stand up and say, I am a Christian and this is what I believe without a doubt? Or is this something that you need to talk to the Lord a little more deeply about? So I hope that this has been a unique episode for you, not only to learn about this country, but to find some great destinations to add. I'd like to pray us out, but before I do, I want to encourage you to head to our website, christiantravelers.net. There we have an online community where you can connect with other Christian travelers, and maybe some of you will be interested in going to check out this unique country together. Or you may find yourself joining some of the other communities and events on our platform, including Beach and Bible Study, Women's Retreats led by Kenzie from Kansas, Immortal Rock Fest, and more. And our communities are unique too. We have backpacking in Ireland, in Australia, in Central America, people that'll travel for concerts, Bible studies for new members on the platform, and more. So head to christiantravelers.net to learn more. So let's go ahead and pray. Thank you for hitting that subscribe button. And let's take this to the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this unique opportunity to explore another one of your amazing wonders around the world. Lord, we just ask that in the midst of this conflict that has caused rifts within this country, that people may remember that we are all your creation, that you love each and every single one of us and want to see all of us at your pearly gates. Lord, as these travelers consider where your adventures may take them, please help them to turn to you and rely on you in all things. In your name we pray, amen. Well, Christian travelers, I hope that you have been inspired and encouraged today. And until next time, safe travels and God bless.